Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I think the perception of Colombia, and especially like in countries like New Zealand, it was one before Narcos and one after Narcos.
People to make conversation with you and be funny, they say, hey, you have some cocaine in your pockets?
Say things like, I love you forever. Since the moment I see you, I'm going to stop loving you. No matter what happens, I'm going to hell and heaven with you. So you grew up with that. So that's part of who you are.
Colombia. Few other South American countries are steeped in cliché the way Colombia is, particularly in recent years. Now, Auckland's home to a sizable diaspora, and given my long-standing romance with many things Colombian, I thought it was time to share what the community here have to say about some of the notions and clichés they find themselves faced with here in New Zealand. Ana Ruiz and Marlon Ortiz volunteered to have a chat with me on Here Now this week, so welcome to part two of our conversations around cultural clichés. My name's Kadambri Raghukumar, and what was called Voices last year is back now, and we're called Here Now, where I'm bringing you stories from diaspora from all around the world here in New Zealand. So let's get into it.
My name is Ana. I'm from Bogota. I came here to study English, to improve my English. Initially, I felt like 6 months, and then I decided to stay here and make New Zealand my home.
And you're an engineer?
Yes, I'm an engineer, and I started here like a waitress because no English at all. And then I started to study. I decided to study something different. I did a diploma in digital marketing. I started looking for some entry level in digital marketing. I couldn't find it. Then I started to do what I was doing back in Colombia. That was analysis and data analysis.
My name is Marlon, and I came to New Zealand 10 years ago. I'm a professional in performing arts from Cali. And I came here with my two children and my ex-wife, my now ex-wife. We came here because my ex-wife was studying her PhD. And after a while, we decided to stay. And yeah, we call New Zealand home as well.
Ana is Bogotana, and Marlon has spent a bit of time there as well. Home to about 7 million people, one of the highest capitals in the world, and a rich art scene, I love Bogota. Although it's not the capital of dance, it's got a charm of its own.
I think people doesn't know about Bogota. People know about Medellin. And they think that Medellin is the capital of Colombia. Because the movie, because something about Pablo Escobar and all of this, they think that Medellin is the capital of Colombia. When you say Bogota, they are surprised. It's like, where is that?
So there's the universal notion that all Colombians are salseros and salseras. Do both of you dance salsa?
I do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do all Colombians dance salsa?
I wouldn't say that all Colombians dance salsa, but salsa, it's part of how you're growing up. There's a lot of, we celebrate everything in Colombia. Most of the people will celebrate everything with parties. Like, you know, it's a birthday party and we dance. And everything we do. And when you're a child, you grow up in parties. Like you fall asleep in chairs and they just leave you there. The salsa was like kind of developed at the peripheral of Colombia. Like it was on the Caribbean coast, Medellin and Cali, which is like on the outside of the Colombia. The salsa was really, really important. And then actually we have a lot of like really important artists from that area, like Joe Arroyo, Grupo Niche. So there's like a really, it's important in that area. But in Bogota, that's the stereotype number one. They don't know how to dance. They don't know. Because, I suppose because of the cold. Bogota is really cold all
year round. Isn't that
a
bigger reason to dance then?
No, it's
especially
rain.
A couple dance.
It's like, I don't know. It's like winter in Auckland. You're like, oh, maybe I stay home. I don't know. But that's a stereotype. In Bogota, people don't dance much. And they're not good at dancing.
Okay, and then there's this lesser known aspect. Not everything in Colombia ends and begins with salsa. There are all these other varieties like vallenato and this rich Afro-Colombian form of music too that's playing in the background.
Salsa and merengue and vallenato are like from the beginning. Even though we grew up with all the Caribbean sounds like salsa and merengue, it was part of the whole country. But that African element is really important. Like it's it's more present in the coast, in the Pacific coast and the Atlantic coast, element that we don't have in the mountains. It's not there as present. It's not as present, which is what I think is vital to understand how everything works in Colombia, the African element.
So Nacos, I mean, are you always having to explain to people that look, it's nothing like that anymore? What about the whole cartel business? I mean.
Yeah, I think the perception of Colombia, and especially like in countries like New Zealand, it was one before Narcos and one after Narcos. Narcos gave them like an idea of what Colombia was in the 90s, and the story about Pablo Escobar and all that, and the myth of Pablo Escobar. But yeah, that's mostly what like when I meet people in the state where you were from Colombia, they say, I saw the show Narcos, and they talk about that and how Pablo Escobar was it like that. And I would say, yes, it was worse than what you saw. It was terrible. It was really bad. Like, it was really dangerous. I was afraid to go out of the street. It was a really bad time. But that was basically it. What all the concepts they have about Colombia. Drugs. Yeah, that's the common thing. That's the usual thing.
People, to make conversation with you and be funny, they say, hey, you have some cocaine in your pockets? Because they think that this is funny, but for us, like a Colombian, this is really hard time. It's not a joke. It's something that we have been a stereotype. We need pizza for everywhere. A cause Pablo Escobar. Then for us, it's not a joke. It's not nice when people say, ah, your last name is Escobar? Oh, are you cousin? Are you uncle? Is your father? It's not a joke.
Oh, so you mean they're not related? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I have used it. No, he was my uncle, and I'm escaping from that. I'm like, what? Sometimes I use it. Yeah. Sometimes I use it.
But things are different now.
Yes and no. But it was not just, I don't think it was just Pablo Escobar. There was I remember that in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of Colombian migration around the world. And you will hear a lot of stories of, like you said, like there was a bank robbery in Germany. And you were like, oh, there was Colombians involved. Mm. And you will hear those stories everywhere. And I think it was part of like that was the diaspora of Colombia in the 80s and 90s looking for a better options. And then like kind of that thing, like now we're replaced by other people but in other countries are going through what we went through in the 80s and 90s. For example, people from Venezuela, you hear that things like it's complicated, it's in the diaspora. So for the Colombians, actually, we are in a better position worldwide. You know, we're allowed to travel more. In the 80s and 90s, it was almost impossible to leave the country. They wouldn't give us the American visa, and they were like, we were not really restricted. But in that aspect, we are better. The country, after Pablo Escobar, like, it's complicated, it's changed, but there's still the money from the cartels and all that.
And then there's those clichés around Colombian melodrama, men oozing charm and romance and pursuit being the fuel of everyday life. You know, I love a good gender-related question.
Yeah.
Of course, men and women. Colombian men, they're all about their women.
Charming.
You know, true or not true?
Yeah. I think it comes from the culture. Like we grow up watching these telenovelas, for example. The telenovelas, the characters are really passionate, and they say things like, "I love you forever. Since the moment I see you, I'm gonna stop loving you. No matter what happens, I'm going to hell and heaven with you." So you grow up with that. So that's part of who you are, right? And New Zealand men grow up with rugby, and like that's all. I'm sorry, but it's true. Like we it's different culture. It's part of our culture. And the songs we sing, the music, it's more about like this ideal love of, you know, I give you all my life, and like, and I think it's part of that.
Okay, so now as a woman and someone who loves all things Colombian, I remember being asked when I came back here what exactly I got up to in Colombia. Because, you know, I didn't exactly come back with any new curve enhancements. Yep, just another one of those notions, but is it actually true?
Yes, it's true.
Oh, it is? Wait a second, we're busting stereotypes here.
It is, but it's not like that. Everyone has, but everyone go to Colombia because it's cheaper and it's professional. Then, you know, if you go to Colombia, you are safe. Depends where you go. But yes, most of the people go for dentist appointment. Mm. They go for everything about medical and beauty. They go to Colombia because it's cheaper. And you know that you get the things right. Then, probably, yeah, the stereotype is like, curvy and perfect and silicone and all of these. But not everyone. I met one friend here, she was from Mexico, and she said to me, oh, you are from Colombia? Where are your silicone? You know, it's like...
You know from Colombia.
Yeah, you are not
show me
like
a passport.
Don't look like Colombia. Like, okay, not every Colombia is...
And what is interesting is that stereotype of woman that was brought by the narcos, that was the type of woman they loved, like the big boobs and big ass. And we had a lot of literature about how they will pay women to have that, to have surgeries. So there was a whole generation at the end of the 80s and the 90s of young women who wanted to be part of that culture, like because it was easy money, and they would get those surgeries. So that became a lot of like the ideal of a woman. And we see it there, like the mannequins, for example. There's a lot. I don't know if you saw the mannequins, the woman mannequins. They're like big boobs and big ass.
I didn't particularly observe.
And really, really curvy.
Yeah, really curvy. And it's part of what you see. The mannequins are like really big boobs, really big ass with a really tiny waist. So it's part of like this imaginary of the woman, the ideal woman for a certain type of people.
I would say like in Colombia, it's really important beauty, how you look. This is really, really important. You cannot go to sneaker to work. No, you need to straight hair, your nails done, your makeup done, because it's important how you look.
Yeah.
But I think now it's changing. Yeah, the brain is important as well.
No, really.
And it was a cultural shock for me. For example, seeing people and seeing women and men like going to the supermarket, for example, in pajamas. You will never see something like that in Colombia. Like if you go to the dairy on the corner of your house or just one block from your house, people will have to, you know, get dressed and get, you know, they come and like dress to go there. Just go there. They will never go out, leave the house without taking a shower or just something. That's just any kind of grooming. You have to do something. Otherwise, like, what are they going to think about me? Like, yeah. So it's really important how you are perceived by others in that aspect. Yeah.
Stereotyped way too much or not, Colombians' pride and love for their country is infectious, and there's a lot to be proud of. And even from as far as New Zealand, Ana and Marlon vouch for it.
I think people confuse Colombia with Mexico. They think we like spicy food. They men have mustache. We like all mariachis, but we are totally different. We have different culture, different food. We are not spicy at all. We have different kind of landscape from the cold until the ocean, different ocean, the Pacific and the Atlantic. And nobody knows about that until they visit us and they saw that we are totally different what they thought. That it's not just Medellin or it's not just Cartagena. It's more about that. Probably when they go to Eje Cafetero, they get surprised about all the mountains that we have, all the green that we have, all the rivers, all the birds, variety of animals that we have.
It's an amazing place to visit.
and might encounter some of the above stereotypes or not.
Yeah, I invite everyone to come and visit Colombia and see by yourselves.
Colombianos Marlon Ortiz and Ana Ruiz with me on Here Now, helping us understand their hermoso país, Colombia, through unpacking some clichés. Follow Here Now on Spotify and all your favourite podcast platforms. We're going to be continuing with this theme next week. My name's Kadambri Raghukumar, and every week I make an episode of Here Now featuring people from all around the world who live here. We're also going live for the first time at Auckland's Q Theatre with some amazing guests. I'm talking to thespian Jacob Rajan of Indian Ink Theatre on the 8th of Feb, so come join our audience. You can get your tickets at the Q Theatre website. Today's episode was mixed by Jeremy Veal, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.